Blog Talk Radio.
We are taping tonight, and I'm going to have to get one to see what I missed.
Let's go.
Hallelujah. There I am. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. How fast can I get around the auditorium and get back in position? It's the high priest. We're going to share some songs now with you, going up to Zion, and some songs of worship in the Holy of Holies. And the last song, the song of victory, these are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. But we lift up our eyes tonight, from whence comes our help? Our help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we look to you tonight. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Father, tonight for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. And Lord, we delight ourselves in you tonight. And we lift up our eyes. Our help comes from you. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we need to take them all with us to Guatemala. The scriptures say shout for joy and victory. Oh, I need a long time now. We're changing. And but at least they let me stand up here and sing. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Amen. Anybody in here the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus says? Well, the scripture says shouts of joy and victory resound. Hallelujah. All right, here you go, Carl. Shouts of joy.
Righteous are the Lord, Lord Christ, and God is the Lord.
sends you to roar. Strongholds crumble all around us in the presence of a storm. There'll be victory like that, a shout that shall die. When we worship the light of truth. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God says that a child shall lead them. And they send the praisers out first. The dance and the music together. The anointing of the Lord. And we're just about to go into the holy place. Let's invite the weight of His glory to come in this place.
Let's go. Holy. Your name is holy, Lord. And that's why we worship you. We praise and we bow down before you this morning. As always, our hearts are bowed down. Father, we thank you for your presence. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. Lord, we can do nothing without you. But with you, we can do all things. We thank you for coming and saturating the atmosphere with your glorious presence, for sterilizing the atmosphere and removing every unclean spirit out of the path of your word. Your spirit, O God, lights up the earth. And God, it lights up our hearts. It gives us that hope that all is well, that hope and that knowing that all is well. We ask this morning that you would speak through your servant, the prophetess Kersey. Lord, we ask that you would touch her eyes and her ears and her lips of clay. Lord, that she might see, hear, and speak that which such she hear and see. Father, we ask that you would allow the angels to take the coals of the tongues and place upon her lips right now. Oh God, that she would speak with power. She would speak with authority. And she would speak in the spirit. In your name we pray, God, as you prepare the hearts and minds of your people all over the world, those that are listening by tablets, by iPads, or laptops, or desktops, or cell phones, however they're listening, that they might hear this word that is coming from the throne room this morning, as you have done on yesterday. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Prophetess Kersey, and let the Lord use you. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless
Praise
you.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me, Apostle? Okay, just make
yes,
sure
I can hear you.
Oh, great, great. And I pray the others that are listening in the global or the geographic places that you've been assigned to speak to. Amen. And we thank God for causing us and giving us this place this morning, or this afternoon. Here it's 11 o'clock, slightly after 11 a.m. here in Tennessee. Right now I'm in Henderson, Tennessee. And I just thank God that he's allowed me to connect with you again, to be workers together with you, to shift some things and to bless and strengthen things that remain. Praise the Lord. Amen. We certainly salute you. We salute your wife, your family, the church family, and all those that are associated with you in their respective places, and our dear Apostle Ronnie Stewart, who is such an encouragement as well, speaking some things in my life. Praise God for him and his beloved wife and their ministry, and my dear oldest, my eldest son, Minister Deron Jones, who's on the line with us again today. Amen, listening to us as he traveled across America as a truck driver, taking care of his family. Do honor him. Amen. We do honor all the tutors and teachers that God has placed in our lives to perfect all the things that concern us. Amen. Till we come into the full stature of Godhead bodily. Glory be to God. We praise God. Amen. For all the pastors that are listening, I believe I've heard you say throughout India and Haiti and parts of Africa and Barbados and other places that we are possibly not aware of. God is the carrier of his word, and he is the one that has declared that it should go to the ends of the earth. And then when it finally reached the very last soul that can comprehend salvation, praise God, then the world will end. And everything is accelerating, and the gospel is moving real fast, faster than ever. We're in a whole lot of places without even being there physically. We've been teleported, translated, transported. I mean, in every which way, amen, we've been carried around the world and able to see the kingdoms around, the kingdoms of the world. This is that the pinnacle of technology, even though Satan has his negative side to it, but God has a great use and is using this technological age to speak to the masses of the peoples, because he knew the day would come that Satan would war with travel and want to cease the moving of the church or the expansion of the church globally. And, he's roaring, forbidding, you cannot go here or there unless you submit to my kingdom. This is my world, in other words. And Jesus said this, his kingdom was not of this world, and praise the Lord. But this Satan is the prince of this world. And that the whole world lies in wickedness. And that Satan has deceived the whole world. Some of us are awake. Some of us are still waking up. Everybody don't wake up at the same time. Everybody don't hear the same alarms. Everybody don't see the same signs. Some can't read literally, but they can interpret things like the Native America, they read the winds very well. They're strong in revelatory way of the elements, the wind, the fire, the rain, the water, whatever. Amen. They study and they walk very close to the earth, and even they are pleading with God. To God to have mercy, and trying to comfort the planet with their dancing and their rituals and their ceremonies, hoping to calm the elements. But we know that time is almost finished and things are changing. Travail is everywhere. Everywhere. Pain is everywhere. Pain is here. Pain is here, and the whole world is passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And as we pilgrim cross the land and reach the finality of everything, And even the president declared, I heard it yesterday, traveling from here. And by the way, let me say this in case I have to soon cut this word off, because I was called in to sit with an elderly woman from time to time to keep finances going in my life as well, like you, Apostle Callender. We live by faith. And God has fixed it where we won't be a burden to anybody on pleading for financial or financial support many times, you know, especially the level of word that I carry by the grace of God. A lot of people find it very hard to accept and to digest. And so I'm here, and I told them, I said, hey, I got an important conference call, and I got to step out a minute. If y'all could just give me 45 minutes to an hour. And I was going to sit on their porch, but I tell you, where I'm at, Henderson, Tennessee, the wind is vehement. And there's something moving and shifting in the elements above that confirm the travail. And I told Apostle Callender when I used to give him the topic or subtopic on what I possibly would be saying as the Spirit give utterance. And the only thing I could think of, I waited a few moments, and sometimes it take me a day to pray, to know what I'm going to say. And even when it comes to speaking, you want to do things, and sometimes I have to say, well, give me 24 hours, Pastor, and I'll let you know if I'm permitted to come speak or to do thus and so. And the Lord has permitted us and joined us together with Apostle Callender and the staff that often come through themselves to minister on the threefold ministry to all those on different levels, because we have all been set to comprehend and to minister with all the saints, no matter what breadth, length, height, or depth that they're on. And so we don't expect everybody. You don't have a whole lot of meat eaters, but we've been thrust in to eat the strongest of word real fast. You got to get strength real fast. Babies are growing faster than ever, just like my puppies, my full-blooded German Shepherd. She had seven boys, seven males, and they're growing at an accelerated time because time has run out. It's running out on man, and we don't have the time left. So with the time being as short as it is, and the proof is by everything that's going on with the wind and the earth mourning, tribes mourning around the earth, heathen raging, and what the leaders have brought upon the earth, being in agreement with hell. Amen. They signed an agreement with hell and made a covenant with death. And I think I've said this on more than one occasion as I was permitted to speak here by the man of God on how these changes that we're seeing are bad, bad decisions of leaders. Desperate. They're dealing with PMS. It's about power, money, and sex. Hips, lips, and fingertips, or biceps and triceps, which leads me to the message that I told Apostle Callender that I would be teaching from today, and I may not be able to finish it, and as the Lord see fit, I'm sure he would grant me to come back to do a part two on speaking to you on the changing glories. The changing glories, how could I say it? Things are changing, things are shifting, force, manifestation, force transference, forced impartation, much through ignorance and some at will, like the leaders of our day that have taken counsel together against the Lord, globally and in the political realm, as well as the spiritual of what we call the religious arena, have taken counsel with evil. And that's why you see the advantage. That's why you see so much death and cunning craftiness. And it's the Apostle John saw it in Revelation 18:23, the day that all the nations, they say, and all the nations shall be deceived by sorceries. And I know I haven't opened with prayer, but the man of God prayed, and and we'd be praying all the day long. I'm always trying to get something in to try to make sure I got enough storage on earth so when all hell, in heaven I mean, when all hell break loose, I have something I can reach back for. As we do in our savings account on earth, we put money in our savings for a rainy day, for a hard day. Praise the Lord. And this is where we count prayer that dear, that we take the time to pray, if it ain't but two words, every hour, every minute. God have mercy. God have mercy. Amen. God have mercy. I want it recorded on the records up high. God have mercy. Of God, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Oh, in these great and dreadful days, in the days of these blessings and cursings. And so we're in a time, I'm telling you, it is so serious, it's frightening. And it's a good fear, it's a good fright that keep me working on my salvation with fear, a godly fear and tremble. You better be afraid to lose your soul. You better be afraid to die before your time when you really don't have to, because God don't go back and renege on his promises when it comes to life. Our death situation, he told you'll be blessed and you'll live long and you can go beyond the promised years. Then the numerology quoted on our lives, if by reason of your own strength you can go past 70 years or 120 years, but we see through every generation as sin progressed, and if evil has gotten worse, that the lifespan has been cut because we don't have 43 years and a good 12 years for evil to run its course. Authorities has been shifted, and evil is now moving in control and has an advantage. Stuff has been loosed and out of the line. And some people call it the March winds, but things are changing globally. But we praise God for you today that are here and so attentive to this radio blog station of the Apostle Calendar and all the ministers that have been given a word for you from day to day. We pray God's blessings and strength on them, and that God perfect even all the things that concern them as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, Father, today I bless you, and I just want to thank you for my chance to come before you one more time. I stand in awe of you because I need you, Lord. I need you like never before. And I stretch my hands to you because there's no other help. I know nobody can help me. Nobody, oh God, cares for me as you do. And I just thank you for your grace and your love, for more time given to me to do, to say, to utter the things that I've seen upon my watch. And I pray in Jesus' name for fresh oil upon my head and that the chambers of knowledge and the wisdom that you've crowned me with will be stirred, and only that which is conducive for this hour will be spoken from my lips, Lord. Help me to speak that which is edifying and continue to minister grace to the hearers of your word in all these geographical locations that you're targeting and erecting altars everywhere. Hallelujah. I just want to praise your name, and I thank you for giving me the right to praise you and for your spirit that's helping my infirmities today. Continue to lead and guide me in truth and showing me things to come. God, in Jesus' name, oh, I stretch myself. Oh, how I stretch, Lord, all day and night, praying and crying out to you to help me and my family, to help all those that are near and dear to me on our prayer list that rest upon our hearts and our minds. Things that are often poured into us of the burdens of others, the burdens of the nations, and even the things, oh God, that have angered and provoked you to this nation that's passing through the nations. Oh God, help us today to stay focused. Help us not to be moved or shaken at the things that are coming to pass. Hallelujah. Help me to stand and to withstand and to stay in the mold, God, until you perfect all that concern me, that I will no longer again return to the foundation of repentance, but we pray to go on to perfection. God, that you would honor our sufferings and our consecrations and our fasting in the name of Jesus and our dedication. Oh, my God, you told us if we suffer a while, that you, the very God of peace, will sanctify us wholly, body, soul, and spirit. Sanctify us, Lord. Keep us sanctified. Keep us sanctified. Let no man have his hand in formulation of what we utter, that we may continue to speak in season. Jesus, the whole council, in the name of Jesus, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, we pray, oh God, that you will anoint the word, oh, that it will move as a sword. God, that it will go forth as arrows today. Oh, that it will operate as a hammer. Tura reshele namaka reshtilaha. Hura ne leke ahashu. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us as we continue to strive lawfully. Help us to know, oh God, the things that we ought to obey of man. God, versus all the things that you've given us to do. Help us to obey you rather than man. God, we pray that for your continued exposing of evil principalities, evil powers, evil rulers of the darkness of this world, evil spiritual wickedness in high places, evil thrones, evil dominions, God, evil wiles, and even the devices of Satan. Show us the thrones of iniquity, those who have been set, Lord, to bring down your laws, your precepts, your commandments, your judgment. Or expose those who are in agreement with hell from a ministerial place, God, that are adding and taking away from your word. God, that our families would lack the deliverance they need. We need you, Lord, to send laborers, to send those who will preach your whole counsel. We preach the word, whether the people hear it or forbear it, hear it or reject it. Help them to speak in season. Help them to speak in season. Help them not to panicate, Lord. Help them not to be bought out with bribery. Help them not to approve spiritual trespasses in the name of Jesus. Buvari nel stomahar. Oh, Rishile Lomorahala. Oh, God, Eli, help, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us, God. Help us, God, in the name of Jesus, to run with the vision and make it plain. Hallelujah. To stand with you and to stand in the defense of the gospel and not organization or not people, places, and things. But I stand with you. My God, I stand with you, Lord. I stand with you, God. Help me to stand and to withstand, Lord. Not be broken by circumstances, the tribulation, the persecution, the rejection, lest I return unto the mold. Oh, the potter's wheel, I pray, God, that you let us not be broken in the name of Jesus, lest we have to return to be remade. God, we pray to go on, never to return to the foundations of repentance of common things. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Help. Help, Lord. We're in trouble. God, help us. Help us in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, not to miss the mark. But help us to continue to press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah, as the wicked man travail. Hallelujah. as their bellies prepare deceit, and you allow the birthing of falsehood because the people has rejected your knowledge. You have also rejected many nations, God, in the name of Jesus, because they have rejected knowledge. Jesus, Jesus, you said you would also reject their children. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy upon us and our seed this morning. Oh, have mercy, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen us all where we're weak. Build us up when we've been torn down by needless trials and tribulation, things that we've been self-afflicted. Hallelujah. And even the crafts of spirit cookers throughout the pharmaceutical realm, throughout restaurants, God, who are poisoning our foods and our waters. Oh, that's trying to immobilize us. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Please, please help us. Help us, Lord. Pour the anointing upon us afresh. Anoint our heads with oil, that all the commandments of men, the doctrines of devils, all wise fables and genealogies will be torn down from the Spirit's mind, and that your word will find, oh God, good ground. Let us conceive the word. Hallelujah. That our minds and our meditations will be upon you day and night as you shake the olive tree, as you shake the heavens, the earth, the dry land, and the sea. We pray, oh God, to be steadfast and unmovable. Hallelujah. To walk into all pleasing to you on this afternoon. We pray that you help us, Lord. Well, as men and women, boys and girls everywhere, by the influence of evil, are becoming overmuch abominable, God, and filthy, in the name of Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name that you would keep us sanctified. Keep us sanctified. Keep us sanctified. Keep us sanctified. Oh, God, the churches that come to this table that you prepared on this blog, keep their table sanctified. Oh, let not a mutilated word fall upon their tables, their pulpits. Oh, God, rebuke mutilation of the gospel. Let the fullness of the word of God fall from the tables of those preachers who earnestly contend for the faith. God, we pray for divine purging and cleansing of our tables, that even the vomit that Isaiah saw, that the tables are full of vomit because the preachers are preaching GMO sermons. God, they won't preach the full counsel of God, afraid of those who will walk away. But God, you have those who love the truth, those who pursue it, those who hunt for it as a hidden treasure. God, when others walk away, you send the ones who love thy word, for thy word is true. We pray for a sweeping and a cleansing of the vomit, God, in the name of Jesus, for the tables. That's on the tables, we pray that you prepare a table that's cleansed, that's sanctified and purged about with hyssop. Oh, purge the temples thoroughly wherever iniquity is found. In the places of righteousness, we pray for divine correctness, reproof, rebuke, and exalting, that everything will be put back like it was. Jesus, that my family can be saved. Wherever they at, Lord, raise up a preacher. Pull them out of the caves. Pull them out, the hidden ones. Jesus, pull the prophets. Hallelujah, that's speaking in behalf of you, out of the caves, out of the hidden places. Let your hidden ones be revealed, and for a moment, save, Lord, save, save throughout Haiti, save, save throughout Africa. Help our people, help, Lord, have mercy upon our people, have mercy. God, turn the hatred of the nations away from us. God, turn the hatred of the nation away from Israel. Jesus, expose the lies. Be no covenant with this modern day Israel. God, until they acknowledge true Israel, Jesus, 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 we pray for an awakening in the four corners of the earth. Awake our people. God, we pray to be lifted up above our fellows. We pray for the oil of gladness to be upon those who yet cry and sigh at the overspreading of the abomination of desolation that's filling the houses of God, the temples. God, we pray that you will rebuke those who shut the doors of your porch and put out the lamps. God, who stand in resistance of the prophets and the prophetess. God, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, rebuke the devil and his angels. God, in the workers of iniquity, rebuke the unholy Trinity. You said whatever we ask. We stand in the pits of your word. We pray that the truth rise and be strong and march. March through our streets, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you will reveal your word. Jesus, Jesus, pray for a hundredfold movement. We pray for the perfection of the saints, that you would send through the pulpits of these pastors, those who will perfect their people. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray and call to be perfect, God. We want to move to that place where Satan has nothing in us. That place that John declared, Lord, where the wicked one touches us not. Jesus, to that place, Lord, that we need no man over us to teach us everything, but that the Holy Ghost, that they'll be led by your Spirit and hear the Spirit with accuracy. God is to speak what it says. What it is heard, it will declare to them what you say. Jesus, help them to follow your Spirit. Jesus, help them to follow the Holy Ghost. Help them, Lord. Help us, God. Oh, God, the women of God, to abide in your calling. Help us, oh, God. Take away the haltiness and the loftiness that you declared through the prophet Isaiah, the third chapter. God, that you would smitten some of us with boldness. Oh, because of our arrogancy, our headedness, and hard-mindedness being out of order. Jesus, we pray that you would put everything back like it was. You said as the end of the world come upon us that this should be a restoration of all things. God, with those that walk with you as well as the end of the wicked. Jesus, oh, Lamb of God, help us. We pray for the eternal glory to come upon us, God. Help us to pull off all the rest of the image of the earthly and to put on the image of the heavenly. Oh, God, clothe us, clothe us. Let your glory be seen upon us. When the people look upon us, let them see your face shining on our face. Let the wisdom that Solomon declared, a man's wisdom causes his face to shine. We pray that you cause our countenance to shine with your eternal wisdom. Oh, God, let it be seen, the glories that be, that we've paid for. God, in the name of Jesus, by staying in your counsel, let it be upon us. Let it be seen by all flesh that you've declared. Oh, all flesh, not the same flesh, but we pray that all flesh, that all kingdoms will see that we are the sons of God. God, standing with you in Jesus' name, we pray that you would have your way. Let this word be heard. Let it be received. Let it be conceived. Let it bring forth fruit to your pleasure. And to those who would stand around as hearers of the word, God, that they may be satisfied in their inner man at what's on your table. This we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Today, Amen. And certainly we thank God again for all of you. Pray that God will anoint your ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church at this hour. Amen. I hope I got at least 10 or 15 minutes to drop something on you. Amen. Because like I said, I'm doing some work. I'm watching an elderly lady today, 87 years old, and she's in her recliner right now. Got her fed and taking care of the sick and watching the Weather Channel, Global Weather. And I like that because I want to see the shaking of the heavens. You see the evidence that the heavens are shaking, the elements, all of the firmaments going up from the atmosphere to the troposphere or the troposphere to the stratosphere and going all the way up to the very last floor of what the Bible calls firmament and science calls spheres. The last floor is the exosphere, where we get to see all of the other hosts that was created on the first, third day before God finished preparing resources and glories for us on earth. And so God has been shaking the planet for a while, especially since we hit the beast in numerology years, the years that evil has the great advantages as the 2021, 2022, and 2023. Those years, if you add them up, it will come to 666 about this, and this is leading to my message on the glories and this war against the glory. Satan trying to distract or inhibit or keep you from obtaining the last glory. When you see all of these storms, all of the earthquakes, all of the volcanoes eruption, what did he tell you that was coming? Once he's in Hebrew, Paul said in Hebrew 12 and 26 that God said that yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. Now you see both top and bottom shaking. And then Haggai said in chapter 2 and verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts once more. It is a little one. I shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. Now, I thought that the earth was a dry land, but God has specific in the four dimensions geographically. Praise God. But right now we see a shaking from the atmosphere up. In the atmosphere realm, Satan is targeting the breath of man, one of the very finest and the first thing that was given to us after the bodily creation, after he made us in the likeness, in the image of God. Praise God, identical to him. All his attributes, likeness and image, and man is the image and likeness of God. That means God has a head, he has hair, he has eyes, he has ears, and you know that. He says ears is in every place, his eyes is every place, the earth is his footstool, he got feet. Praise the Lord. Same members that you have on your body, God has a heart, he has feelings. I mean, he wants to be loved. He is emotional like you. Amen. Sometimes we in love, we fall in love, out of love. Praise the Lord. We get angry, wrathful, we're going to hurt something, hit something. Praise God. And God is the same way. He reproved, rebuked, exalt. He encouraged. Amen. He blessed and he can curse and he can kill and he can destroy. And we see right now the worlds are ending, y'all. Things are ending. The old is going out and something new is coming. But what's coming new, what we see in this realm today will not be in the new. as this great deception. Look at the wind blowing so probably about 45 miles an hour. I'm sitting out in my car. Never have I seen a wind like this, and it comes with a noise. It may be some horse riders. Who knows? A bunch of angels just rush over, a bunch of fallen ones. Who knows? Things are moving. And right now, we see the things that are upon earth in this realm that's visible to us and tangible. But when you see the wind, the Bible identifies it as a spirit. And I tell you, the only way you're going to be able to see spiritual things or even comprehend what we say or even come close to believing is you got to have the Spirit of God. You got to have the Holy Ghost. And this is important in this hour. You got to have the Spirit of God. Get it locked in. Get full of it. Because Romans 8:9 says, if a man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. That is the first glory that was given us after the fall, but by true repentance. But a last one is coming. We're getting all the signs. God says, stay awake, stay alert, stay vigilant, because I'm getting ready to sit in the last glory. I'm going to restore those who have kept their body in sanctification honor. They will obtain, praise God, restoration of that likeness and image of God, which was stolen from us by the fallen angels. And so we see this travail across the planet. We see God forewarning us and giving us head up that the Lord, the last glory is about to fall, and the sealing from the seals into the trumpets. Once there was a silence in the heavens for the space of 30 minutes. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, it's moving. It's showing out just because I'm sitting in this car. Amen. It's showing out. It's showing out in this yard, and I'm looking across the field, and I don't see no trees on the other side moving. And only the ones around this house moving strong. Something is here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we glorify God this afternoon on this wise of giving us heads up to prepare your bodies to receive the fullness of God. Amen. And people say, well, we already received. We got the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to us. He's trying to perfect the things that concern us. And he tells us through Peter that after we've suffered a while, the very God of peace shall sanctify us wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, the whole man. Amen. After we've suffered a while, he will strengthen us, settle us, and establish us, and perfect all that concern us. He will make us perfect. And so we are going into perfection now. There are those of us sick of foolishness, sick of falling, sick of laying the foundation of repentance, being overcome by common sins, common things, making the same mistakes over and over again. And we want to go on to perfection. So God is sending a word to those who are ready to receive that perfectus fire. Praise God. Go to finalize your spiritual growth, where you'll no longer be conforming to the image of each other, mocking and mimicking and copying and duplicating each other, but we will become Christ-like, and we have come short of that glory because of this demonic invasion among us. There are demons here. There's the spirits of the fallen angels, offspring, their children who are still disembodied, moving through the wind, moving in the elements. Praise God. They are moving at times, and then the angel who is the original guardian over the wind, because God had set the angels, the host of heaven, charge over all the elements that's given to men, the resources. They're over the treasures of the rain, the snow, and the glories of the sun and the moon, and to make sure the sun come out of his place and the moon come out of her place, and they go back in their places, and all these set authorities the control, the glory's given to us underneath the heavens, a real place, the literal place that's been described by Apostle John, where the streets of gold and the pearls, pearly gates, and all the other descriptions of other entities and creatures that God has made that praise him without ceasing. And so we're in a day, this is a war to prevent you from receiving the final glories. Now, at the beginning, God, when God created man, he said in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26 through 27, and God said, let us make man in our image. He dealt with the sixth day. This was everything ahead was provision made. The host put in authority, guardians over everything, over the biosphere and the angel over the greenery, the ones that's over the creeping things, the ones that's over the fish and the ones over the fowls, like babysitters, and the ones that are ministering spirits, the ones that are warriors who fight for us, and especially Michael is the guardian over Israel, over true Israel, which is Black America. He watches over us. But God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and gave dominion, authority over fish and fowl, cattle, all the earth. He said, let us give them dominion, and that means authority over all the fish, the fowls, everything in the waters, everything that the habitation is the air, and cattle, and all of the earth, all of it. And creeping things. Satan don't like that. He's jealous of the authority that's been given us. And we see that in the word of God. Even Ezekiel talks about the image of jealousy that stand at the gate, the image of jealousy provoking to jealousy. He's here to provoke God to jealousy and to prove to God, hey, I can influence these people. I can stop them from fasting and praying. All I got to do is offer them some flesh, because their flesh, their skin is my strength. And their old skin and their flesh is their weakness. He said, Job just serving you for things, for vanity, the vain things, the temporal things, the things that can be corrupted or be brought down by moth and corrupt. He said, I'll show you. Man loved flesh. He loved sex. He loved to eat. He loved party. He loved the music. He loved to be recognized. Praise the Lord. And so God said, I gave you authority over everything in the earth, and you have an adversary that's showing in every way that he's jealous, and he wanted. Jesus took that power from him, the authority that Adam gave him, gave it back, and guess what? The churches who lack knowledge and revelation gave power and authority back to Satan. Amen. And that's why you see the shortness of glory, the unrevealed levels of glory that it should have been, but because of PMS about power, money, and sex, and pastors and those who are supposed to be running churches are in authority, instead of they keeping things in divine alignment, as God said, or keeping order, they start changing things, compromising, and working in a way of pleasing men, their families, running the church, and giving all their families titles. I mean, giving people titles that God didn't even give them. And I mean, putting them in office, and as Ezekiel said in the 44th chapter through the 47th chapter, God said, I'm upset with y'all. We're the one, we blame it on the world, the unholy mess, but the church has always been the nucleus, the power. Amen. We are the true legislators. We make the rules and we break them. And that's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, he said, I saw the place of righteousness and iniquity was there. He said, I saw the place of righteousness and iniquity was there. I saw the churches, the ones that are supposed to represent God, those that are supposed to exalt doing the right things, the lawmakers, the most sacred place in the whole wide world, Amen. That's supposed to be different and sound different and look different from any other organization or entity or established business or industry in the world. Amen. He said, I saw that iniquity was there. They were breaking the rules. They were preaching it. But then on the other side of the Apostle Callan was talking about all week long and last week, they're breaking the law. They won't live it. Tell you to fast, but they can't fast because of conditions. You can't give God a real fast, an honest fast because you've been afflicted by your own hand and agreeing with Egypt and holding to conditions. And all you got to do is turn to the resources, the true resources, uncut, unmutilated leaves of the trees. And then you hold on to pharmaceutical potions, the sorceries that the whole world, it's Revelation 18:23 saying, the whole world will be deceived by sorceries. Now, that's more than one type. Now, what he was talking about, too, was not only mystic sounds, voodoo sounds, occultic sounds, or even eating from the table of devils, eating from spirit cookers, witches, and warlocks, and people who serve other gods, eating stuff offered up to devils. Paul rebuked the Corinthian church in the 1 Corinthians 10th chapter of those who eat from the table of devils and eat things that other, like restaurant owners, much of the Asian countries, the stuff they sacrifice unto devils, strange creatures and beings. Praise the Lord. And God, he said that I wouldn't have you to fellowship with devils. But listen what he said. And so in the 27th verse, he says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created him, male and female. Created he them, and God blessed them. Here where the war against the glories started. Here is where the DNA war started. Here is where the shape of iniquity begins. Here is where deformity and the maiming and the psychological afflictions and traumas begin. Here is where the glory was stolen. The likeness was stolen at the beginning and continued from generation to generation. From generation to generation. And even after this, he said in Genesis 2 and 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Please, everything we needed was made, and Satan came in and persuaded our fathers otherwise. And when I looked up that word, and he's talking about God made us in his very image and likeness, the very representation of the eternal form of a person or a thing in art, an identical copy. And that's why Satan hates us, because we remind him of God. We remind him of his judgment when we preach the whole counsel of God. And so he's going forth now to bind strong men, to bind the strong man. Whether it's a natural authority or whether it's a spiritual authority, he cannot take the nations unless he take over the ones who've been appointed in authority, the one who's the guardian, the watcher over whole cities, whole rural areas, homes, schools, the White House, kingdoms, dominions, everywhere around the world. He is going forth to rob you of the glories of God that was given to you. Amen. He is out to rob you. He is after the glory of God. And who he targets first? Who was made first in the like image of God? Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11 and 7, he said, the man, he said, he is the image and glory of God. He's targeting the real authority, was the man and is the man. Amen. But now we see a competitive age, especially when you're dealing with women scorned and wounded women, belittled by mothers, fathers, and brothers, and you find this competitive age in women. It ends in their hand. And the women, is Isaiah say, the women shall lead and the children shall be the oppressors, because women are very strategic, as in the beginning. And I've been preaching this for 15 years. The Lord say it will end with females in authority, as it was in the beginning. And Isaiah, Solomon confirmed it in Ecclesiastes 1 and the third chapter. This fall started with the female. It ends. She started with a woman ushering the beast to her man. Amen. And then there's a declaration. All the movements say the same. Women have always been on my side. They've always been a fire. They are the gateways. They are the legal entry. I will have them in the last days and movements. They will give birth to my creatures. They will give birth in the last days. Nothing. I will make sure nothing is born in this likeness, in this image. They will not look like God designed man to look like in the last days. They're giving birth to deformed babies, retarded, mentally ill babies. Praise God, to creatures. They're having women to conceive what they have conceived in a laboratory, putting a pig, mixing with a human, and put it in her. Women that have been paid lots of money to give birth to creatures. There's a great travail on the earth. Amen. It's a sure manifestation, a birthing. The final birthing is here. And even the president said the other day, and I started out saying it earlier, and I'm going to have to go because I've been out here too long already. 100, you got to pay attention to the slanging of the number 100. If you study that word in the Hebrew, the Greek, and other aromatic, it means the fullness is here. And that's why the pain is in the shaking of the heaven and earth. The birth pains, unstoppable now. It's unstoppable. There's nothing we can do. Revival now. Revival will happen one more time, and nations are going to flow back into the house of God one more time, because it's going to be a move from the heavens that only God can do and manifest, that will cause the nations to see they ain't been shaken by the earthquakes and the tremor. It's got to be something spectacular, something mind-blowing, never seen before by this generation, that happened in the heavens, like it splits, and then you see a literal city or angel coming out of some being bigger than anything that we've ever seen on earth, open up something spectacular, something mind-boggling will happen, and the church will have the answers for the president, the problems that the nations are having. There is no political answers to. They have no cures for your sickness and your diseases. Amen. The cure is in these leaves, this word of God, the pages of the Holy Word of God, out of the 66 books that's been given to us, though there's more, praise the Lord, but we've been given six. We keep getting these six, and the 66, and all of these are messages coded in riddled messages on why, and now knowledge is increasing. God is sending a word for us to understand the strategic moving of him and them, but know that they are more with us than against us. But look at this word. As we see the war on glory, the glories of man, Satan wants to deform you. He wants you to be blind. He wants you to be mindless. He wants to steal your God consciousness. He don't want you to hear in the spirit. He's working on your pineal gland where there's no visions, no dreams. Praise God, you can't see afar off either by open vision or deep sleep vision or night vision. He is working on the main internal physical glories as well as the natural glories. And look what the word of God said in 1 Corinthians 7. The glory of God is a man. And nothing more beautiful than a man serving God. A real man. If a woman got a man of God, you have men of God that they want to pray and read the word. That's the most beautiful man to me it is that exists. All men are not beautiful. They probably got some nice looks and some shapes, but nothing more beautiful than a virtuous man. Who could find them? They are rare. They are rare. And most women, when they, if they're not really develop and balance, they will run over those men, and they will only seek to control them because they see that as a weakness. But it's beautiful. Nothing more beautiful than a man weeping before God and desire his God and seek his God and want what's best for his family and his community. But the glory of God is a man, and Satan is after the glory of God. The last of the men of God are men that have never been defiled by the transgendering movement, that's never been in phenogenotoires and threesomes and freaking everywhere and freaking here and running with the freaks that come out at night, praise God, and been in his bed with 2-3 women in orgies and occult orgies and fusing you, and a lot of transfers been deposited into your bottom larynx, that later on when you do go in union and marriage, if you are not delivered, praise the Lord, and is still a masturbator, when you, your wife conceive seed from you, it's going to go, your sins are going right into that child, and later on in life, it will manifest your secrets. And you say, where my child going this way? Why is this one going that way? That's your secret. Now, you might have not did it as a man or woman of God, but if you still got unconfessed and sealed stuff there that was supposed to be confessed, the only way they could be washed and erased, and the devil wouldn't be justified and proceeding to continue through that that genealogy, that child will come up with it. He will find a way, if somebody break it in between their development, and if that family don't remain in fasting and praying and staying in the word without catechating and adding and taking away from it, and walking as spiritual trespassers, trying to make the word say something, and you wear a title that you ain't supposed to have, praise the Lord, when you do that, it will pick up later. It may skip a few children, skip a generation, but it's gonna find its way back if it has to hit the daycare center to make a deposit or transfer through a perverted person and get the baby in the diapers and get it that way. It will continue if somebody's not watching, if they're not dedicated and keeping their body covenants, amen, and keeping their senses exercised to discern how did this beast, this creature, entity, pop up in my family again? How did this thing get here? Where did I did not keep my watch? Where did I not seal my doors and my windows up? Where? How did this thing get in here? How did it take possession here? But look at this word. Satan is warring against the breath of man with this, what they call, airborne virus. And, boy, you're talking about an awakening of ancient deities, the spirits that had Caesar, the spirit that had Anubis, the spirit that had Osiris, the spirits that had the lady with the snakes in her head. They got a statue downtown. Praise the Lord. Amen. But let me go on right here because I know I can't finish right there. Praise God. I know I can't go on in there. But look at what it said. The glories, the war on the glories. Praise God. And then he goes on in the 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 7, and say the glory of the woman is, the glory of the man is the woman. After we saw in the 7th verse, the glory of God is the man. The glory of the woman is her hair. You notice the changing in the hair arena, the shift in the hair arena. Praise God. He said the glory of the woman is her hair. And Proverbs 17:6, because in comparisons with the Joel's prophecy of the last moving of the Spirit, will be in alignment with our children. In the last day, saith God, impart my spirit upon all flesh. That means the other species, everything will feel the presence of God return to the earth one more time before they're taken out of the church. But he said in Proverbs 17:6, he said, the Lord of children's children are the crown of old men, their great grands and their grandchildren. And the glory of children are their fathers. You notice the war on the glory of children and why children now are so distraught, so depressed, so suicidal. The missing element are their fathers. The sins are responsible for what's happening to them. And the returning of the hearts of the fathers back to the children will restore that glory, that hope in them. Praise God. The glory of children are their fathers. Satan is working on stealing glories, the things that's supposed to make a child feel honorable and proud that I have a strong dad. I have a dad that supports me. I have a dad that takes care of me. I have a dad that fish with me, that bowls with me, that play ball with me, that prays with me. I have a dad that helps me to dress. I have a dad that's man enough to say, I love you. I have a dad that cries with me. Same way in ministry, pastors supposed to be that passionate about the children in their care given to them in ministry. Praise God. The glory of children are their fathers. We need to pray for the returning of the glory of the children. The hearts of the fathers turn back to the children. Amen. We have mothers, but nothing heightens a child's intellect, oh, and their pride more than my dad, my father. He was there with me. Even when he fell and made a mistake, he passed through the valley of crack, alcohol, a sherb, a crocodile, amen, a meth. Praise God. He made it back to me. My dad, I don't care what you say about my dad. He made it back. He making up for. Praise God. The glory. Satan is working on the glory of a child. He has no respect for person. He don't care about age. Lust has no respect for person. Lust has, destruction has no respect of age. He is working on the glory and the hope of children. Depression, the same temptation you have, is on a five-year-old baby because we're working, warring against those that are ancient. Evil has no good intentions for evil us. And look at this, and I'm going to stop right here because I got to go in, y'all. Proverbs, look at, I'm talking about the glory. I hope I can come back, Apostle Calendar, and finish this. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can come back tomorrow if you like. If you have nobody to come back tomorrow, I'll be traveling to Georgia, and I can do it traveling ride with this other sister. Amen. Going to Georgia. Praise the Lord. It's the Proverbs 29 says, the glory of the young man is their strength. And the beauty of an old man is his gray or his hoary hair. You know, we all been trying to run and dye our hairs, get rid of it. But he say, that's a glory. And ooh, nothing more beautiful than me seeing a black man got a nice, beautiful gray on and salt and pepper. That's lovely on a man of God, a man. Especially if it's well-groomed and well-cut, your beards and your mustache. Gray is beautiful. It's a crown from God. It's lovely. God calls it lovely. But listen, if part A of that say the glory of young men. You notice there's a war on the glory of a young man. Satan is trying to break down their loins. He's trying to pervert them. He want to take their organs, dismantle them. He want them to dismember themselves. Praise God, their strength. Their strength is in the loins to produce generations. Their strength is in giving pleasure to the wife there. Praise God, their strength, amen, is being able to get rid of the waste from their body. Amen. Praise God, he said, a glory, he liked to be strong. He wants you to see his eight-pack. He wants you to see his muscles, his biceps, his triceps. He wants you to notice the muscles of his mind, his intellect, how smart he is. Give him accolades. Give him praise. The glory of a young man is his strength. Daddy say, you're a strong boy. Come on, lift this thing over here. You know, daddy, boy, you think you're so strong that daddy can competitive, got a competitive attitude, breaking his son down, causing the same destruction your daddy did to you. You pass it on to your son, criticizing him. Their glory is their strength. They want to be pressed. Son, you a strong young man. Go and pick up that thing now. Boy, you can push that more. You sure know how to do that, boy. You know how to play that ball. The glory of a young man is his strength. And then 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 41. Now, we were talking about personal glories, and there's more to the personal glories given to us in the physical realm, our bodies, our looks, our attributes, the way we look, beauty modes, signatures of gaps in our teeth. My family, the Kurtzes, have a signature, a gap signature, meaning wealth. Those are messages, riddles in your body structures. The mole over your eye, this, that, and the other, and it tells other generational things. You can be read. I know some of us can. I read people very well. I can look at a picture and tell my children and family, all of them trying to move up here to Tennessee, right? And they'll say, Auntie, I got a picture. I'm going to send you a picture. Tell me what you think about this. This person I'm thinking about marrying. I say, oh, no, there's perversion now. There's, oh, that child that has an abuse. Not a lot of love. We shouldn't take a long time to discern nothing. We can discern pictures. You can discern the voices, demonic attachments on the vocals of a person, even by telephone, even by music. You can tell. You got to read the sound, study the sound, interpret the sound, interpret the writings, the drawings, the imagery, because Satan is working on images, likeness, and he's trying to bring it under him. And this is one of the second phase of the mark of the beast in Revelation 15, the beast, the image. And then you got the number of his name, and then the mark, four phases of the mark of the beast, which will now in process. It's already going in effect. The image, all this has a part to do with it. The image changing. When the Antichrist is introduced, he wants everything ugly, disfigured, deformed, crazy, insane, out of his head, void of understanding. Your conscience seared. He wants you under the delusion. He wants you under his control. He wants to change your image and likeness. If you have male genitals, he wants to cut off you. If you have breasts, he wants you to dismember yourself. He is creating other images that's conducive to his dark environment. Praise God. And then there's those earthly glories that God has given us, Satan working in, polluting, making the air unclean. And I'm going to stop with this verse, I promise you, and then I have to go to the other, and I'm going to pray. 1 Corinthians 15:41 says, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth one from the other star. And then verse 39, he said, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh in men, another of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Another of birds. Praise the Lord. And then he goes on to express, praise God, the different glory. You see, God has given us glories, and Satan is attacking it. God has given us light. Before there was a sun and moon, the firstborn of creation was Jesus himself, Yeshua HaMashiach. He was the firstborn of creation and the first begotten of the dead. He was the light that entered the world. That the next in authority on the side of his father. People say, ain't no three in the God. We say it was three gods. Well, if we have the Trinity, Satan is mimicking it in the last days in the 16th chapter. The beast, the dragon, and the false prophet, and Isaiah said in 14 he would do it. He's mimicking the Godhead body. There is the Father God and his Son and the Holy Ghost in earth, working on earth. While Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father, and the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15 that the kingdom is in his authority right now till God make all his enemies his footstool. Jesus is running the church. He's running everything supposed to run the church now. Some of us running the church ourselves. You know, when Jesus running, it's going to be done like he said doing. It's going, everything will be said like he said, and timely, not out of time. It's going to be said timely. Amen. And yeah, you won't be a monotony. You're predictable when you preach. You'd have something fresh on the table. Amen. And something that will satisfy the people hungering and longing soul and make them want more of God, not make them want to walk away from the church or backslide and you abort. Are you miscarrying ministry? Praise the Lord. Satan is working on the glories. Don't you see the war against the sun with the chemtrails blocking it out? You want it to burst. You see the war against the moon. You see a war against the stars. All that God has given man, Satan want to steal it or destroy it or make it be no more. There's a war against the last glory. He brought the church to prayerlessness, to a place of you don't fast like you used to. Know why? Because you don't accept what he said. You don't believe the report of the Lord. You don't call for the elders of the church no more to be healed. You go to the emergency room. You go to the doctor. You believe everything they say. You won't go to the herbalist. You won't go to the leaves of the trees and get rid of what's in there and strengthen the soldiers already in your body, in your body's design to destroy that yoke. It can be destroyed by the leaves of the tree, not by potions, not by pharmaceutical potions that create another disease in your body. We need to go back to God. Go back to God. Go back to Jesus. Raise up some holy elders, some sickless elders. It takes to heal people to heal people. It takes free people to free people. Go back to God. Go back to the herbs and leaves of the trees. Satan is warring against the biosphere, the glories of the trees, the DNA. So he's spraying nanos to change the DNA in the tree structures. Amen. Putting insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, the GMOs. Oh, baby, you talking about a real war? This war is deeper than you know. There's some depths, the depths of Satan in Revelation 2 and 24. He said, I speak to the church at five power. Them that have not known the depths of Satan. Depths means stuff that's rooted. Ground, and you can't see the roots under the ground. You know that tree is there and it has roots. You can't see the roots, but you know they're there because that tree wouldn't be standing if it was something underneath the surface that you'll have the inner ability to see. Unless you dig it up, you'll see the root. God, you're talking about a revival when we get back to believing God. If you have to die, God, deliver me from this pestilence. Deliver me from this disease that I've given myself up. You said if I seek you, you would heal me. You can send your word to heal. I trust you. I believe your report. God can restore organs. He can restore the blood. He can restore the bones. If you stop drinking sodas, you'll stop having arthritic pains. If you stop eating a lot of sugar, your bones will stop hurting. Praise the Lord. If you eat enough of the very thing, people say, well, I don't like peppers, and I don't like jalapenos and banana cups. It hurt my stomach. And the reason why I feel like that, because it's killing everything on the walls and the linings of your stomach. The peppers is designed to clean your arteries. That's your blood thinner. That is the blood clot remover, the blood clot dissolver. And Satan wants you to trust in all his man-made stuff. And all you got, you probably got 3% of the herb with all this other mixture of stuff that's damaging and causing your other organs to fail. We're scared to get off of the man-made potions. You're scared to move in faith and try God. Let God heal you everywhere so that when you lay hands, you won't be imparting weakness. You won't be imparting lust. You won't be imparting disease because it takes heal people to heal people. It takes free people to free people. Praise God. We got to get back to healing and deliverance. And we're going to preach God as a healer. Get off the man-made potions. Get off of them. Miracles are coming back when we turn back to fasting, when we get back to praying. You'll see a returning and a releasing of the gifts of the Spirit, the working of miracles. That ain't no miracles with the doctor take your organ out. That ain't no miracle that they cut your leg off. That ain't no miracle. Praise God. We're dealing with stolen glories, stolen virtues, stolen powers. And some of us say, yes, yes, sir, Lucifer. Yes, I am. I am what God said. I'm healed. But you're still on that stuff. You better get to them herbs. Get your body ready. Or you're going to be disabled or die before your time and will not be one of the ones to help finish the work. And I know somebody ain't going to like it, think it's hard, but it's the word. It's the word of God. And Job said in Job 15 and 16, he says, oh, God, how much more abominable and filthy is man with drinketh iniquity like water. You believe their laws. You believe their statutes. You believe what they say outside of the word of God, and you go on that. And then he said in that 17th verse, he said, I will show thee. I'm not talking from my point of view today. He said, I will show you. Now, I'm going to show you. Now, you hear me. And that which I have seen, I will declare. I'm declaring what I see. I'm declaring what I say at age 63. Praise God. And he said in the 18th verse, he said, which wise men have told from their fathers and have not hid it. You're scared to say that. You know, some people I've seen pretty scared to say, well, you can be here. No, you better go on down in that emergency room. You better go on down there and let them cut on you. Let them take it off. And I know Jesus say you can be halt and maimed and still go to heaven because that ain't the spirit. They ain't this maiming your human spirit. It's the physical man. Sometimes some things are unavoidable. Once you come into the knowledge of truth, try God so you can really know what you're talking about when it comes to real miracles. Real signs and wonders, healings more than one type, and it ain't got nothing to do with that surgery room. Nothing. Everything we need is supposed to be kingdom, in the kingdom, not in the emergency room, not there, not in pharmaceutical potions, not being deceived by sorceries, man-made potions and meds over the counter and all that kind of stuff. Go to them herbs. Go to the herbalists. Go to the Amish people. Go to the Mennonite. Go to your backyard. You get God give you medicine in every season. Grow up in your yard. And we've been trained to cut it down with lawnmowers and stuff and don't know what we cutting down. And you got medicine right in your yard. And he said in the verse 20, the wicked man travailing with pain all his days. Wicked man, wicked, there's a difference than wicked and sinner. The wicked man travailing, that's a person that have the knowledge, have heard it, have given it, but they decide, I'm still going the other way. Oh, I'm going to stay on this here. I'm going to keep doing this here. No, God didn't. No. He said the wicked man going to travail in pain. You're going to always have pain if you don't go back to God in the word. Do a real fasting. You got to get organic stuff. Get real fruit, not the GMOs, because that ain't going to come out your body and it's going to make you sicker. You got to know the difference in the food you buy because everything has changed. We are in a falsehood. We're in a day of falsehood. We're in a day of falsehood. You can tell by what appears in the natural what happened in the spirit. Just like homosexuality wasn't passed on the earth, and prayerlessness didn't start out there with Marilyn O'Hara. It started from the pulpit first, and we start making excuses where we ain't going to have noonday prayer this week, but we're going to have a singing, and we're going to have a love days for pastors and appreciations. We're going to have all of that, but we're going to cancel out prayers and shut-ins, and we're going to have love day. We're going to have money-raising day and building fund day. He said, a wicked man travailing with pain all his days and number of years is hidden to the oppressor. Your days are shortened when you know the truth and do it not. And we make excuses and we won't really go on to perfection. And he said, verse 34 of that same chapter, Job 15, he said, for the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate. And fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. A lot of people just in it for, say their church is just in it for the money. And one thing I do know, Apostle Callender, he don't ask for no money. And he should be blessed from time to time for his service. And anyone that preached the gospel who is lying, we should bless the ox that tread out the corn gift sometime. But we should make it a habit that we can't preach without it. And that's what Paul said. I'm not accountable to no man. I'm one only made tent. So we'll say, they always got their hands off. They always begging. You're supposed to care for those who giving you eternal substance. And he always make a note. And anytime he get money, he send it to India. He sends it to Africa, people who have needs. Whether he have proof or not, he believe what they need and just send what he have to these lands. And he said here, in verse 35, they conceive mischief and bring forth vanity in their belly, preparing deceit. And that leads to part two of the travail that's on the earth, of birthing. I see all of this wind. There is something there. This is not just a breeze. There are visitors. There are entities in the midst, beings more here. The veil is there. There's a curtain. We can't see it, but the day is coming where all of that's going to pull back, and one day we all going to come out or get up one night and we'll see. Kind of being the creatures everywhere, all the literal crab, the difference in that which is a star and a crab. Every world merged in history past, and you read the riddles on stones or the storytelling on the stones, on the pyramids of Giza's and caves. They do their storytelling, telling you what they've seen. Beast and creatures, all that's coming back. And we sit, we war with each other and reject each other. And somebody giving you something, giving you an arrow, giving you a weapon of war against, man, this is my problem. I want to be free, totally free from anything that darkness has. I want this snare from me. I want this yoke destroyed off of me, that I can bring people to the fullness of deliverance and healing. Praise God. But he said their belly preparing deceit. Everybody on this line and worldwide has something preparing in their belly. It ain't just your stomach breaking down stuff and trying to send it through the colon, through the large intestines, down to the small intestines and out to the waste system. There's something else forming in you. Paul even talking about Christ being forming you. The world is something inside of you. It's going to be something coming out of our unsaved families and friends that have not crossed over, who refuse to change or cross over. Something is going to manifest in them that you will say, my God, who is that? What is that? I never thought I would see them in this. I never thought they would lose their mind. I never thought they would do that. You don't know what's preparing in people. That's why we got to feed them and give them the whole truth. Where we've been, and young men tell them the whole truth. The Bible said, David said, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. You got to give people the whole truth for them to be clean and delivered from demons. The devil don't want the whole truth preached to nobody, and that way people will always be sickly. Everybody in the church is sickness overspread. You don't hear wisdom crying out in the street. We have wisdom crying out through the prophets. They think you're arrogant or high-minded, or you think you better. I'm not preaching with the attitude that I'm better or I'm arrogant or petty or high-minded. I'm telling you what works. We got to get back to God. You got to get back to believing God for your healing and your deliverance and get off these man-made potions. Find the herbs that will deliver your bones, deliver you down to the marrow of your bone, from the first layer of your skin to the seventh layer. You got seven layers to your skin. And you got to put the right things in your body instead of pig feet and crabs and all this alligator and snake and rats and all that kind of stuff. You got to eat what's lawful. Strive lawfully. Strive lawfully. That we all can be healed. Healing beget healing. If you heal, everybody around you be healed. they'll leave out from under your hand saying you heal and still have the same infirmity. You know why? Because it's not in you. And they end up still going home and take the same medical. They still feel that same issue because it wasn't perfected in the vessel that was trying to authorize it or pour the oil out in reference to that. We got to get back to God because Satan is after all the glories given to us. He's promised to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to destroy our planet. He's trying to destroy. He is doing a good job. Our children, the old and the young, without respect of person or age. Evil has no respect of person, nor respect of gender. Same temptation, same sickness. Children, brand new children born, coming out with cancer. Who ever heard such a thing? Who ever heard such a thing? Children coming out. No, they come in injecting them with sorcery. They come in injecting them with stuff in that incubation period going on, just like these vaccines. It soon will manifest the nano takeover in the bodies of people. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we thank God today for all of you that were attentive to the word of God. And we pray that God will forever bless and strengthen you. Praise the Lord. I know y'all get it when spirits, and then the anarchists throwing out the government, throwing out them preachers over there. Oh, they got something ready for the nation, the Luciferians. We got to get that glory back on our lives, the fullness of God. You say the fullness. Return back to the image and the light. Don't cut nothing else off your body. Amen. And cut nothing else off your body. Anything else that you don't understand and you haven't studied the effects and the side effects before you end up dying before your time. Amen. Why be thou much over and much wicked, as Solomon said, lest I die before time? Why be rebellious against the word that God has sent as a lifeline to extend your life and your continuation until he says time is finished? Until he says, bride, don't speak no more all in the earth. Because even John saw that the voice of the bride and the bridegroom shall cease to speak in the earth. People, they rebelling against the real church, real prophets, real fivefold administration. And they act like they don't want it and can't stand us and want to get rid of us and silence us. And one day, God say that's going to turn around. And they're going to want us to say something. God says, don't speak at all. But I'm getting ready to send my wrath, which is the end of age. The end of age. He said the voice of the bride nor the bridegroom will be heard no more at all in earth. Jesus will not be speaking. There comes a point in time there won't be no voice from heaven speaking down on earth to nobody here. The church will be told, don't speak no more at all in earth. Don't you say nothing. Y'all be quiet. Don't preach to the world. Don't preach. I got this from here. Praise God. But we thank God for you. Father, we thank you for this time with you today. We thank you for preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We thank you for the subjection and causing everything to humble itself under your mighty hand, that spiritual that's working against your people, their places and things, and all those in these geographical locations under the sound of this voice, this pulpit, and where you've established altars that people can come and repent everywhere. Father, I pray that I've not said anything that's not conducive. I pray you forgive me. I pray that this word will fall on good ground, that it will be believed and conceived, and that it will bring forth fruit that's pleasing to you and to the nations that hunger and thirst for righteousness and pant and hunger in the top of every street for a mighty deliverance. I pray that you bless right now Pastor Callender and his administration, his wife and his family, calls men and women to give into his bosom, and likewise every servant that hath ministered here from this place. Let them be a blessing globally. Let them be a blessing locally as well. This we ask in Jesus' name as I pass to Apostle Callender.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, yes. Prophetess Cheryl Kersey. We thank God for you and thank yes, God for yes. that anointed word. And you shared something was so powerful that I know it was God, because I just put a word last night on that the Lord gave me on Facebook. And what you said was right in tune with that word, because it just matched hand in hand when you was talking about the change that was coming and how it would be the leaders in the church that would be affected and the leaders in the political world. And I just posted that on Facebook last night. It's very similar, not the same wording, but very similar, because the Lord showed me that this, his wrath is coming. And he called it judgment. This is the way he said it, the judgment. And that it was first that it would hit the leaders that are refusing to preach the truth and they're compromising his word. And then it would hit the political leaders, because they are changing what God stands for. In other words, they brought in the homosexual lifestyle, the transgender lifestyle, the killing the babies, the human trafficking and organs trafficking. All this stuff is against God. You know, they're trying to become gods. And God said that the judgment is coming. The judgment is their reward. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for this woman of God. Thank you for the word that came forth. And, Lord, we pray that many would hear the word, and, Lord, that they would be convicted, Lord, to your word. Your word is a convictor, is a deliverer, is a restorer, Lord God, for those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, oh God. I thank you for saying in the word today that we all have different styles. We are not, neither are we puffed up. We are just doing what thus says the Lord, and we all are adding to the cake. Hallelujah. My wife is getting ready to make me a banana bread. I was giving her some instructions today, you know, and she says, okay, honey, tell me straight. Tell me exactly what you want, how you want it done, and what you asked. I was giving her some instructions of how I would be eating for the next 21 days, and I was telling that I need to get some, go on a vegetable diet, and because I'm not going to be eating a whole lot of meat and stuff like that, you know, because I saw she had a steak, a couple of steaks in the fridge, defrost, and I said, well, this is the last day that I would taste it for 21 days. And I said, but I want that you get organic vegetables, because that's what I want. We were out this morning moving some stuff from her mother's place, which is up for sale, and I was giving her instruction. As I was coming back, you were saying the same thing. You was talking about organic, eating organic, because they're spraying the food with so much pesticides. That's why you got to stress. I mean, it's going to cost you a little bit more when you go to the supermarket, but look for that organic vegetable. Look for that organic fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And make sure you check the description on the bags of stuff that you're buying, because they've got a lot of this stuff sprayed with a lot of different things. You've got to look and see if it got fructose inside it. You know, we love the cookies and we love all this sweet stuff, but you got to look if it got corn syrup. All this stuff affects the blood. You understand? The fructose, the corn syrup, and other things like soy, it affects the blood. You got to check that stuff. I'm telling you, you got to check it. I have a drugstore here. They're all herbs. Why would tell me? So you got a drugstore? I mean, I got hundreds of stuff there. I mean, got four shelves filled with all different herbs. And then when you go in the kitchen, oh my, I got a table. I have a table, not boasted, because that's how I feed myself. That's how I feed my body. I have a lot of herbs, different herbs that I put together to get for certain things so I can stay good. People say, well, you're 72. You're almost 73. You don't look like it. My doctor was just telling me yesterday, day before yesterday, he said, you don't look like it. He younger than me. He look older than me. He got a better leg. He going to have twins. You know, and he's a younger man. But I, he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I use herbs. But then I thought it was the herbs. But then I went back and look and see what it was. When the herbs, I have sleep apnea. It's very hard for me to sleep at night. So I have to take a NyQuil, nighttime medicine, or Vicks nighttime. And the nighttime is not good for my blood. So every time I use a nighttime pill, that stuff, it shoots my blood pressure up. And that's what it was. We just figured out. That was what it is, because I have to look for a nighttime medicine that says good for the heart or blood pressure, and then I can use it. But I can't use that stuff anymore. But we just thank God for you, a prophetess, and thank you for your time. You know, a lot of times we may say, well, this body don't preach and that body don't preach, but I usually listen to the Lord. When the Lord says so, it's so. Minister Onde is bringing the word tomorrow. She went to the doctor yesterday to get an extraction of a tooth. But she said, I sent a message out last night. So will you be able to, yesterday evening? I said, wait. She said, are we at the doctor right now? But I am going to bring the word on Saturday. I said, okay, because Saturday is her day. It's the day that the Lord has assigned to her. We had every other Saturday, one for her, then one for the prophetess. I found this Campbell, but Campbell is, she's in another place now. So we have to allow the Lord to work on her. But we thank God. We thank God for the message. Then we pray God give you strength. God continue to protect your son out there on the highway, as he is God's servant also, and that he will share the word of God with the other truckers that don't know God, you know, because we have to be a light in this world so people can see Christ in us, not us. I don't want nobody to see me. I always used to say when I come to the altar to preach, one of the things the Lord used to have me saying, Lord, blind the people to me, not physically blind them, but spiritually blind them, that they would not see me, but they would see you in me, because it's not about me, never about me, will never be about me. When I was in Africa doing a crusade, one of the crusades that I did in Africa, they had a big banner. I mean, the banner as big as my house, over from one telephone pole to another pole. And I asked them why when I got there. I didn't know that. They had a picture of me that the guy went and downloaded from my album on Facebook. I didn't send him no picture. And he had a picture of me and himself and other couple more ministers up on a banner. And I said, look, ain't no point you putting me, why you put me up there? I said, because if the Holy Spirit, God himself in the spirit form, don't show up, I can't preach. I said, because I can't preach without him. He should be the one up there. You know, you should be putting something about Jesus as Lord or something up on the thing, not put my banner up there. He'd never be about me. So I thank God for the word. But Bishop is on the line. He's going to come on, do the prayer of salvation, then we'll open the line. Mother Grant, send her love to everybody. She's out on a cruise. She and about 100 different other seniors is out on the cruise. She just sent me two text messages this morning. They was having lunch on this big yacht. You know, they're treating them good in Florida. They're taking the seniors out so they can eat and have a good time to fellowship while their old God is taking care of them. Come on in, Bishop, and do the prayer of salvation. Then we open the line.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Because of y'all, the honor, glory, and praise. Thank you for the message, prophetess. Thank you for the message. Strong message. Oh, my goodness. Now, for those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we're opening the doors of the church to you right now. And all who have been prodigal sons and daughters, please come back home. You know Jesus is standing there waiting on you. You've been through it before. Don't slap Jesus in the face. He died for all of us. Come back home and don't stay anymore. And for all you who have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't hesitate. Don't wait too long, because we're not promised tomorrow, not even promised today, the rest of the day. You never know when the Lord says our soul is being required of us. Come home. So I'm going to urge you to go to the book of Romans if you have a Bible. At chapter 10 of Romans and the verses 8 through 9. And it says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, even the word which we preach. Hallelujah. And verse 9, confession is made. Andy, you can just say, Lord Jesus, please accept me, save me. I need to be my savior. Sign my name across your heart. I want you to be my savior. You should be accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say it out loud. That's why the word says it's in your mouth. It's near you. He says, the word says that because the devil can only interject thoughts in your mind, he cannot hear what you're thinking. You must speak it out loud. Put it in the atmosphere. Put it out there. All over. Atmosphere, stratosphere. Put it out. Say it out. You make this confession, you will be free of sin. Whatever sins you have committed, they are clear. Right now, you have no sins on your soul if you that Jesus died for our sins and our iniquities, and that God raised him from the dead. If you believe that truly in your heart, say it out loud, and you shall be saved. That's the word of God. Book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Read it for yourself. If you don't have a Bible, I suggest that you get one and read those words for yourself. Also, your next step, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the apostles did it in the book of Acts. If you go to the book of Acts at chapter 2, you will see that. Chapter 2. And Peter said unto them, repent. That's the first thing he said. Repent. And if you made that confession, you must repent. Don't go back to the way you were. Don't go back to doing the things you were doing. Repent, and your slate is clean. You're now saved. This is an outward sign when you get baptized that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it's an outward sign to everyone that you're dying to sin by going into the liquid grave, and you're rising in Christ Jesus when you come back up out of the water. It's a beautiful, wonderful feeling. I've experienced a lot of stuff in my life, but that's one thing that you experience in life when you get baptized. There's no feeling that I've ever had that felt so great as to give my life to the Lord and go down into that, what we call the liquid grave. Try it. You'll like it. Find the church that baptizes in that way. I'm not telling you to leave the church. Maybe they don't use that way to baptize. They might use that was in Matthew 29, I think. Fine. But Jesus told the apostles to baptize in his name because if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 12, the word of God says, nor is there any other name mentioned among men under heaven that you should be baptized? That name is Jesus Christ. So congratulations. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, invite people to your baptism. Let people know before you get baptized, hey, I'm going to be baptized on a certain Sunday or whatever, or next Sunday, 2 weeks from now, whatever. Be baptized, and why don't you come to my church with me? And they have a lot of good words. The word of God is beautiful. You know, they may have not been a person who went to church, but by looking at what you're doing, they may say, well, if she can do it, if he can do it, then I can do it. You bring that soul to Christ, and you will be rewarded. You have a reward waiting for you in heaven for every soul that you direct to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's why I pray that I will meet everybody who's ever in the sound of my voice. I will meet everybody when I get to heaven. I'll meet everybody who I directed to take Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I directed them to come unto Jesus. While you still have time, don't hesitate. Don't play with your salvation. Once you cross over, you can't come back and say, well, wait, Jesus, I'm not ready. Let me repent. It's too late. Repent now. and be baptized. Separate yourself from this perverse generation, as it says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 40. Read it and ask the Holy Spirit whenever you pick up your Bible to read it, even before you pick it up. Holy Spirit, lead me where you want me to read today. You know, and just read, and it may just be one sentence, two sentences, and something will pop up in your mind. Oh, Holy Spirit, give me the knowledge and the wisdom, but most of all, give me the understanding of what you're directing me to. And he will. He'll give it to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for you and all who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior today. God bless you. Stay safe. Eat healthy. Don't organic food. If you can get it, eat it. If you can get it. There's so many things. Apostle Talon has a list of things, you know, that's organic. And a lot of things you don't even think about. There's different herbs for different illnesses. Try them. They work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you. And Apostle Talon is back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. Glory to God. We honor you, my brother and my friend. We just thank God that you are available when the Lord Lord to use you. And a lot of people may not know, but Bishop suffered with his eyes. I'm not really in agreement with it, but he suffered with his eyes. And most of the times when you hear him doing a prayer of salvation, I would say all the times, because I saw him when I was in Louisiana. He does a prayer of salvation with all the stuff you hear he's saying is coming straight out of his memory, because half of the time he can't see the words. The words are jumping all over the place. So he memorized, just like Apostle Stuart, memorized the word, you know,
yes,
and flow in the spirit. So we thank God for him, for his obedience to the Lord Jesus, working for the kingdom. There's no better work than that. I tell you, no better work than working for the kingdom. And we just honor you all, honor every one of you. We thank
Hallelujah.
You for Minister Jones on the line. He's listened to his mother. No, many times he has heard it before. But this message today was a right now on time, what you call on time message. And I like what all of us on here, Pastor Washington, just deliver a strong message on Thursday, a very strong message. I got so much response from overseas and even right here in our local base. People are responding on the word, saying how it was an awesome anointed word, because remember, they go to a church where the pastor is a compromiser. I just saying the truth. I can't tell a lie. He compromised. He teach all of this highfalutin teaching, you know, all of these words that don't make sense, you know, to make you think, because he was a teacher and a teacher in the school system. So he used a lot of dictionary words, you know. But what we want, what the people need, is the truth from God's word. Jesus was a very prolific speaker, but you know that Jesus talked about the corn, he talked about the fish, he talked about the sheep, and he talked about the goats, and he talked about tent makers. I mean, Jesus just broke the word down so and make it so simple that a fool could understand, you know. And he's God that knew all things, but he made it so simple. He just take down that he taught that the people just gather at his feet just to hear the word of God, because he made it so it was understandable. But this preacher, he just preached so high, I mean so high, and just wouldn't preach the full truth. And we know that the half truth is a lie. The half truth, are you preaching the truth or are you preaching a lie? You can't preach a half truth. It's not the truth, you know. And I had to leave the church because I shared with you all that every month there was a death, one or two deaths in that church. I had to leave because I didn't know what was going to hit me. I didn't leave out of fear, but I said, well, something is wrong here. Every month you got somebody dying in the church, something's wrong. You know, something's wrong. And I just saw just the other day on
in a short space of time, there were 3 other people died in the church that had on Facebook. So we have to tell the truth. The word of God is medicine. It's medicine for the soul. You know, and if the more we preach the truth, the more people will wake up to the truth. You know, if you don't preach the truth, the people stay lost. They stay lost. Thank you again, prophetess. The line is open for anyone that want to come on in and encourage the woman of God. And as I said, yeah, there we, all of us, if we on the line and we hear the word of God and you're a space that you can encourage the preacher, we ought to come and encourage the preacher. And because it's God. It's about God. It's about God allowing that particular person to minister to his people, to his sheep. They're not mine. They's God. I'm just a watchman. We are all watchmen. We are all like Nehemiah. We are watchmen. We're building a wall and we're not coming down. You know, so we should encourage one another. That's what it's all of us. I know a lot of times people on the line don't encourage nobody, but we need to do it. We need to make it a habit. You talked about the fathers in the message of prophetess, you said in the message, you said that how some fathers or some mothers will tell their children that they ain't going to be nothing. They're just like their father or they're just like their mama, and they take up that spirit. Well, listen, it's the same thing in the gospel. If we encourage people and tell them that, well, especially when we hear the word of God, we know it's the word of God. We're encouraging the word of God that's coming off their tongue. You're encouraging that preacher, man or woman, to continue in God, We don't agree with everything about each other, but one thing we can be in agreement with is the word of God, I'm going to leave that right there. The line is open. Remember, Mother Grant said, pray for her. We pray that God would keep them safe on the water. Lord, we pray you keep them safe on the water. Lord, that there will be no sudden wind coming from the north, the east, or the west to turn that boat over. Lord, nobody will fall over because they drink too much orange juice or too much soda, because I know there's no alcohol in that trip. But Lord, we pray right now that you bring them back to the harbor safe. Let them enjoy you and enjoy each other. And get back. Nobody would fall out from old age, having a stroke or anything on that boat or anything, Lord, but they would fellowship and reach back to land safe. And Lord, we give you honor and we give you glory and we give you praise in the mighty, awesome name of Jesus for keeping them right now. Amen. The line is open.
Thank God for the word. I really enjoy myself. I am on the road, enjoying the word and the truth. Hearing the word of God, it always keep you in a repentant heart and keep you humble. I just thank God for everyone on here. And I pray for you. You pray for me and watch God change things. Y'all have a blessed day and continue praying. Watch and pray that we all kind of be accounted worthy for the things that are coming upon the earth and that we'll get in the place of God, that Satan can't find anything in us, that we'll continue keeping our garments clean and staying holy before God. Y'all have a blessed day. Love y'all. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. We pray for your safety and safe travels. We know that they're coming after the truckers now, but we want you all to stay safe out there, and we pray God's strength and God's protection, God's blood, oh my God, and God's heavenly host to watch over you, and not just you, but all the truckers. I know the truckers are doing a mighty work, and they do a lot of work. They move a lot of food, a lot of merchandise all over the United States of America. You know, a lot of people are talking and seeing a lot of, some people, not all, but some people are saying ill things about the truckers, but the truckers are standing for justice. And we have to appreciate the truckers, what they do for us. I mean, they bring your TV, they bring your refrigerator, they bring your stove, they bring your corn, they bring your wheat, they bring your flour, oh my God, they bring your beef, they bring your chicken, I mean your fish. They move everything. I mean, they move everything from north to south, from east to west. You can't get no food if the truckers don't move. The food is at the is at the dock, but it can't move. The truck has got to go load it up. You're not going to have no new TV. You're not going to have no new cell phones. I am telling you, they move everything. And just because they're standing for their rights, some folk is talking bad. But I pray the strength and I pray the protection of the heavenly host to surround every trucker from Canada to Australia, my God, to France, so, oh God, to Britain, wherever they are, Italy, wherever they are driving for their rights, standing for their rights. They say they're standing up all down, even in the Caribbean. Truckers are standing up now. They all this thing is like a spirit going all over the world because they decide if they don't want to take a shot, they don't have to take a shot. They should have rights. They have a right. Not sure they have a right to say, well, I don't want you to put this stuff. If I want to put it in my arm, I put it in my arm. You can't force that stuff on nobody. And they tell you, you got to accept this transgender spirit that's in the earth right now. In our country, I mean, we can't talk about Britain, or we can't talk about France, or we can't talk about Germany. We got to talk about our nation first. You got to fix your house first before you fix anybody's house. And we pushing this transgender on everybody coming from the White House. From the White House. But they're pushing Christianity. They're not pushing holiness. They're not pushing righteousness. Matter of fact, they're coming against the church. The woman talk about it. I heard a preacher say the other night that we in a technological era. But with the era that we're in, it, that they're going to be used to glorify God, but they're also going to be used to lift up the satanic agenda, and that's what they're doing. They use it to lift up the satanic agenda. I heard that somebody was saying that they're building this thing in New York. They got this thing that before me, statue in New York. But they had where they had the Ten Commandments, they moved that. But they got a statue of a satanic statue was half human and half animal in New York. You can see the satanic statue in New York. You understand? And so you wonder why New York is facing so much troubles, so much trials. You wonder why we have so much stuff going on in our nation. And it's going to get worse. I'm telling you something. It's going to get worse because Revelation, we no longer in the middle of the book. We no longer at the beginning of the book. We are in the ending of the book. You hear what I'm saying? We are at the ending of the book. Revelation is being unfolded before our eyes. And a lot of people, like the woman of God was saying today, a lot of folk in the church are still sleeping. Don't even think about outside in the neighborhood. Don't even think about on the streets, because we're probably looking at the street. No, let's look at the church first. Because he said judgment will begin at my house first, at the house of the Lord. There. And a lot of people are in the house of the Lord and in deep sleep. Why? Because the message that they're getting from the pulpit is like a sleeping pill. You ever seen preachers preaching and the people in the congregation sleeping? But if you preach some conviction, they can't go to sleep. They'll get so mad, they'll get mad at the preacher. We all be preaching messages all the time from the pulpit, from the podium, that get people so mad at. They get mad at us. Because the word of God is convicting them. You talked about 66 and you said there are other books. Yes, there are about 14 other books. But we have enough to tell about what Jesus has done. We have enough in the 66 books to declare the truth of God's word. How God wants the world to live. The people that call by his name, that are washed in his blood to live. We got enough. We got enough to lead us straight through the pearly gates. We got enough on those 66 books. We just got to get in there and study them and live them. The line is open. The line is open. Come on in, anybody. Come on in if you heard the word.
Apostle, I just wanted to salute the bishop that always do the altar call. Me and my son been talking about him ever since we first heard the man of God and his eloquence, and he is so beautiful of a spirit man. The way he does the altar call, and you said that he's one like Paul with that thorn in his eyes, and Paul said, if I needed your eyes, you would pluck them out and give me some eyes. So we knew his infirmity was in his eyes. And that man, I love to hear that each time you end the messages or the messages from the appointment on this line in their service or their sermon or teaching, with him coming, I mean, it's just so tender. He is so tender before the Lord, and he is worthy and well-equipped with the virtue to stimulate that altar, our prodigal son. He's a beautiful man. I just wanted to say bless you. God bless
yes.
you, Bishop. I enjoy you. I enjoy you, Bishop. My son, we were talking about that. And I said, oh, my God, that man is a beautiful man. He reminds me of Apostle Higgins, that his elder general, he's gone to sleep for many, many years, probably 15 years. He's been in paradise with the other saints, waiting for us to be caught up together with them. And I've never met anybody teach so humbly and so soft-spoken, so anointed. And, it was strong, but it's so sweetly given. And some of us go through different emotional levels as we preach and teach, but it's to no offense to anyone. We just got a way that we relate and the way we talk. And just like you got some preachers that come in off the street, they talk, they just got that way until they're balanced out, even if God permitted, but sometimes God permit them to keep certain flavors or ingredients in their lives to capture the others who are in that zone. You know what I'm saying, on that mindset? But he is a very lovely man, and I want him to know that, and we've been praying for him. Amen. We have our prayer line every day, 7 days a week, and we have not missed praying 11 years now. Well, actually, it was 12 years as of January, maybe 12 years on the prayer line, 7 days a week, 5 a.m. In the morning, and people coming all around. And we always pray for those, especially our men, because the devil is after what's left of the first glory. He after men like you all, Apostle, Barbados voice. I mean, my son admire you. He talks about you all the time when I tune in, and he will be on it a lot of time. I can't say anything because, like I said, I'd be at work if somebody called and say, hey, we need somebody to watch you later today. And then, you know, you don't want to do a whole lot of talking on your watch. You try to be careful, but we'll be here to support. And but you are admired by us at Eagles Outreach, and that's the name of my ministry. Prayer ministry is Eagles Outreach Ministry, and we salute you all. We salute you and the Apostle Ronnie Stewart as well, and the man that can't see it and can preach and will preach the gospel. A very lovely situation there, you and your wife in your ministry. Amen. I just wanted to say that about him, and just hold on to your glory. The enemy is coming, even if he has to bring you down through a disease. But your inner man is so strong. Your inner man is strong. Amen. And you have that apostolic anointing on you of a surety, your voice, that word. You know, oh, you are apostolic, most definitely. And we salute that. It's very rare. You have a lot of people these days that say they are apostles that are not. Now, we know the scriptures say that some say that the apostles are not, but we know where they are. And people just pick up titles and don't have one church at all. You know, don't even have a church, don't really have a ministry, and is self-appointed. But you are of the apostolic ship. And we praise God for you and that man of God. He has an overseer of it, and he's anointed for the altar. He is most definitely anointed for the altars. Praise God. And the overseer, that's the bishop, is overseer, a pastor, a bishop is overseer, a type of pastor, but he is anointed for the altars, and you can tell he's very sweet on that altar. He loves it. You can hear his love for what he does, and we thank God for him. Amen, and praying behind us and giving that very refined altar call. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. God, y'all are glory out there. Praise. Thank you, Father.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Prophet, for that encouraging word to my brother. And we had strong fellowship in Louisiana when I was there, and his lovely wife, Apostle Washington. We thank God for her. And we
Hallelujah.
Thank God for our prophetess that went home to be with the Lord last year. We just thank God for God has connected us with some genuine people. We had good fellowship with Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart and the congregation over there, the Lighthouse Fellowship. Very strong people of God. And I tell you that God has blessed me with some genuine brothers and sisters. I talk about genuine. They don't half cut. They don't soft soap. I mean, when they bring the word of God to you, you can put your sponge in the water. You understand? You can put your sponge in the water and soak it up. I mean, I could be anywhere in the world, teaching or preaching the word of God, and something is going wrong, all that God does pick up that says, they're praying anywhere. But when I pick up that phone, then I can hear in the physical. But in the spirit realm, I've been in Africa, I've been in India, and I tell you, these people pray for me. Pastor Stewart Joyce, Pastor Joyce, the Washingtons, the Jeffersons, I'm telling you, they pray for me. They pray for me and cover me when I'm over in another country, just bombarding heaven and messing the devil kingdom up. And you can't have a better family than that. You can't have a better family. They weep for me and I weep for them. That's the kind of people that you want to have in your corner. People that will weep for you when you not do, don't even know they're weeping. You're going through and they're weeping. You can feel the praise of the righteous. You can feel when they're praying for you. Oh, my God, I feel it in the morning. I get something in the morning. I lay up on my bed and I'm praying. That's the Lord. I said, honey, people are praying for us. You know, see all you say? I'm telling you, I said, I can feel it. I can feel the spiritual energy taking over my body. That's how you know this thing. This thing is real. So we just love you all. And I'm glad that Minister Jones is with us. He comes in every day and listens with us, and that is good. But I see a great anointing over Minister Jones. I see God using you as a traveling, not only just a minister, but I see God pulling you into the fivefold ministry as an evangelist, just carrying the word. That's what you are. You're filled with it, and the Lord says that it's your time now to open your mouth like a trumpet and sound the alarm. You see, you are in the right place at the right time to sound the alarm. You know, I just see you pulling truckers together, man of God. I just see you pulling truckers together and just having a powwow in the Holy Ghost. You know, that's the way I hear it in my spirit. I see you having a powwow in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
All different races. All different races of truckers. I could see you all in this restaurant just sitting down. And you be the one that God just lift up to stand up in the middle just like Peter as an evangelist for the Lord and just declaring who God is. And white, brown, black, and yellow, and green, men just beginning to weep because of what is flowing out of your belly. That's what I heard the Lord saying. Just flowing out your body. God said, I brought you now for this time, for this season. He said, don't be afraid, son. It's not about the building. He said, I've already given you a building. It's not about going to the church building. He said, I've given you a building. You are the church, and I've given you a canopy. That's the heaven. It's over you wherever you are. Open your mouth and declare the truth. Man will get saved right on the highway, right at the truck stop. They will get saved. That's the word the Lord says. The line is open. I'm finished. The line is open.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that, man. I try my best to bring it every chance I get. and be led by the Spirit. A lot of time I sit back, I feel bad when I don't say nothing. And then when God allows me to speak, that's when it be really at the right time. When I have a chance, I don't have a chance to minister to Muslims, and we have, man, the conversation get real deep, and I ran across Israelites, and God really used me, and so, and you know, I just thank God for you seeing that, man, that's amazing. Yeah, you know, lately I have been saying, I said, Lord, when you want me to speak, and so I, most time when I you go to a truck stop, I say, Lord, what truck stop you want me to go to? What truck stop should I go to? And so when I go there, God always has somebody there waiting. If I don't get a chance to say anything, you know, be a blessing to the homeless, people, you know, you see a lot of travelers. So, I mean, I thank God for the opportunity to travel. I've been all across the United States and to be able to meet people from all walks of life, man. It's amazing that you have so many people that's around the world as truck drivers. And you get a chance to see that when you are here. And I just thank God for the opportunity. And I'm just praying that God continue to anoint me even more to speak the right word, because you have so many different beliefs out here. People that believe in Buddha, and you have Muslims, and so you really have to be led by the Spirit and know what to say and how to say, and be able to say it at the right time so people can understand that God still loves them and he want them to, you know, to come to him. And so I just thank you for the encouragement, man. I love you, and I pray that God continue to anoint you and your ministry and everyone on this prayer line. I mean, it's ministry. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. Let me tell you something, because there's just an anointing right now that I'm feeling in my spirit right now. And I can tell you that God is going to use you even more than he ever used you before. And I'm seeing like fire all over you. And even as I'm seeing this, I feel chills like needles going through my body. And the Lord says that your tongue will become the pen of a ready writer to write on the passwords of the hearts of the people. He says, one thing I want you to know, and he says, I want you to tell my people, when you come to talk to my people, as I go to lead you, this is what the Lord is saying to tell you. He says, when you begin to speak to them, tell them, I'm not a white God, I'm not a black God, I'm not an Asian God, I'm not the God of Buddha, but I'm the God of all nationalities. He says, I'm the God of all nationalities, all races. He says, I came to save all souls. I declare that all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die, saith the Lord. He says, I want you to speak to them as though you're speaking directly to their souls, not to their heads. He said, the head wouldn't understand, but this soul would understand that it's me that's using you. He said, the anointing that I'm placing in your life and that I'm releasing right now, saith the Lord, is for you to cause those to open by my spirit. My spirit will flow through you, and the doors of their hearts will open to hear the word that I will speak through you. He said, don't think what you're going to say. Just open your mouth, and I'll speak, saith the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. Man of God is in you. God says, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. I will tell you exactly what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. Men will begin to weep. You will see tears falling from their eyes like babies, and wouldn't even know why they're weeping. But my anointing will flow through you onto them, and in them and through them will cause them to weep, because I will bring change on men so they can become leaders to carry the spirit that I've placed upon your life, saith the Lord. The line is open. The line is open. I'm finished. Spirit, stop, I stop. And there's a lot of people on the line. Nobody's seeing anything. I give you 5 minutes. After that, I'll ask the bishop to come in and pray and close us out. And we'll see you all tomorrow afternoon. We come on at 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Minister Andre will be bringing the word tomorrow. She's a very strong woman of God. You know, years ago, I was at a church and I was ministering. And as a matter of fact, I was teaching the Sunday school that morning. And she was in the Sunday school class. She came in there. Somebody invited her. And I saw her. And as I saw her, I didn't know her at all from before. And the Lord told me that to call her out, that she would be a vessel for him. And when I called her, she keep pointing at the lady next to her, whose name was Gloria. And I was close to Gloria as a sister to me, a brother to her, because my sister, the only sibling I have alive now in my country is my sister. And all my three brothers died. And when I heard the name, I said, you know, I have a sister named Gloria. But she kept saying, are you speaking to this to Gloria? I said, no, I'm speaking to you. Speaking to you. The Lord said you will be a vessel for him. She didn't even know how to find the scriptures or find the books in the Bible. She would have to always go to the index to find a chapter or find a book. And if you hear her preaching now, teaching now, you won't believe it was the same person that I saw several years ago. When God called her out, she didn't know how to put the scriptures together, didn't know how to find the books. You don't mean me, Apostle. I said, yes, God being you. So when I speak, I only speak what God says, because I told the Lord, if I speak a word that you didn't cause me to speak, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word again. Because my only objective is to glorify your name, edify your body, and terrify the devil. So I don't speak to get no accolades or none of that, because I always tell people I got accolades this morning. When the Holy Spirit came by and waked me up, because it was in my alarm clock, it was in my cell phone, it was my electronic clock on my hand, watch on my hand, and it was in the television commentator. The Holy Spirit woke me up this morning. That's enough. I don't need no accolades from nobody. I mean, if somebody do, I said, praise God. All the glory to God is not for me. So I say what thus says the Lord. And you will see my brethren in Christ, you will see the anointing that on your life. You're going to feel it in your belly. I'm telling you, when it come upon you, you're going to feel it in your belly. You can't get away from it. At times, it's going to be so hot. I'm telling you. Because I felt it, man. I felt it when I was in Africa. When they come upon you like that, it's so hot. It don't care who come up against you. When they get in front of you, they're going to change. When they get in front of you, they're going to change because that anointing. So we bless the Lord. If nobody's got anything to share, we're going to ask Bishop to come in and close us out. He will be the last voice you hear, and I'm out of here. Come on in, Bishop, and close us out.
Praise the Lord. Glory to his holy name. Now, as we depart one from another, may God have all the glory, honor, and praise. Until we meet again, may the strength of the Lord sustain us, the power of the Lord protect us, and the hand of God guide us. Until we meet again, amen, amen, and amen. Good day, everyone.